I've written as my title, contemplation, recognizing the presence, recognizing the presence of God. So I've taken a little snippet here. I'm just going to read it in full because it says better what I want to say than I could. And it's from Richard Rohr, and he says, "What is contemplation? Many can equate it to prayer or meditation." That's just a little snippet of what we were doing just now. But you might be surprised, however, to discover that you can practice contemplation while mindfully washing dishes, singing, being with a friend, or walking in the park. Contemplation is simply being fully present in heart, mind, and body to what is, in a way that allows you to creatively respond and work toward what could be. Contemplation is both personal and communal, internal and external. It helps us let go of our usual self-centered, it's written egoic, but it's kind of that sense of, yeah, that sense of selfishness, that sense of like, it's all about me. It helps us let go of that way of thinking and doing things so that our compassionate, connected and creative self can emerge. So that's cool, actually. I think when lots of us hear the word contemplation, including me, I either think of like that those prayer practices or of just sort of sitting thinking about stuff, which is part and parcel of that, but it's not all that it is. And I love that definition. I love Richard Rohr's definition. It's about being present to what is in order to creatively respond and work towards what could be. That sounds great, but how do we do it and how do we get there? Like, what does that look like in our normal lives? And I want to briefly give a bit of a background to some of like this way of understanding the presence. We were worshiping just now, and for some of us, like, that's a real, like, that's a profound way of connecting. We recognize the presence of God as we're singing together, as we're dwelling on those words. And that's something I think that lots of us know how to do really well, because we've been in that space and we've cultivated that practice. But recognizing the presence of God, I feel, is something that we're able to do in different facets of our lives. He mentioned that in that passage, it talked about washing up, singing, and like, I think it was walking, and there are all sorts of ways and things that we can be doing as we recognize the presence. We recognize what's going on. We recognize the presence of God, of the Holy Spirit, of the divine in what we're doing. And we choose to embrace that thing. There's a guy, some of you may have heard of a guy called Brother Lawrence. He was a monk who just devoted himself to service. People used to come to be with him while he washed up. While he was doing the washing up, people would come and be with him. So profound was the presence of God while he was washing up. You wait, Karen. We'll be coming to your house and just to sit with you while you wash up and maybe help out a bit. But yeah, I feel like there's something that can happen as we're out. We're out walking a dog. We're out in the park as we're dancing. Joel and I were in the car on the way. We were listening to a radio program, and they were suggesting that we learn 5 different types of butterflies to increase our appreciation of the natural world and the butterflies in preparation for butterflies coming. So, what are the 5 types of butterflies, Joel?
Sing it, Joel.
There's emperor. There is.
Oh, why? What? You have on there, Joel. Well, I'll be going to help him out. Admiral.
Peacock, that's one of the ones that was on the list. Cabbage fly, yes.
And there was a brimstone and something else. And we also listened. I think we've got five there. That's excellent. Well done, everyone. That would be your homework for today, is to learn five types of butterfly. And we also listened to birdsong. Oh, what? Another one?
Okay.
Oh. We also listened to birdsong. We heard, we hear a robin, a great tit, a wren, all sorts of different things. And now we can call those birds out with pinpoint accuracy. We'll be walking through the woods, we'll be hearing the sound of birds. Oh, yeah, it's a robin. It's a starling.
Don't you already do that?
I already, yes. But somehow, I think part of the challenge, actually, within this, is just recognizing what's going on. There's that initial recognition that actually, yeah, God is present here in whatever we're doing. God is present here while I wash these dishes. God is present while I chat to my neighbour, while I go on this walk, while faith comes and presents you with a caterpillar in a box. part of what happens is recognising the presence. And I think sometimes there's something that someone shared at the weekend at the conference just gone. There was a woman that was sharing about recognising the presence and inviting the presence into especially the hard moments. So when I'm feeling a great sense of anxiety or fear, or I'm sort of being taken on a road down greed or lust or like turmoil within myself, those are the times where we could be tempted to either just fight the thing or try and desperately will within ourselves to not feel that thing or not go down that route. But actually, those times become an invitation. Those times become an invitation to invite the presence of God. She used the image of a banqueting table. She had this, great banqueting table laid out at the front. And the point was, she's saying over time she learned to accept the invitation to the banqueting table. To accept the invitation to the banqueting table in the midst of that hard stuff, when she felt like she had nothing left, when she was empty. And I'm sure lots of you are familiar with that experience of thinking, oh man, I've got nothing left to give, I don't know how I'm going to do this next bit, or function in this next bit of time, or go to that meeting, or speak to that person, because it costs me something. The place I'm at, that small conversation costs me something. But actually, when we recognise the opportunity, we can accept the invitation. We can accept the invitation to come into the presence of God. I want to read this passage from Isaiah 25. And it says, "On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-matured wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-matured wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain." I, as you know, I'm a sucker for going to passages of scripture that talk about abundant feasts. which is at today, as we no pressure on hosts, as we go out to lunch, I'm sure there will be lovely meals, and we'll be eating together and we'll be sharing together in those foods. But maybe as we go out to those go out to those homes and like partake in those meals with people we know well and perhaps not so well. Let's be aware that we're responding to an invitation. We're responding to the presence of God. We're responding to that invitation to come and be present at the table. And that invitation, all we have to do is recognize that invitation and receive it. That's the practice. That's the hard bit. That's the practice. That's the thing that we need to train ourselves into, is to recognizing the presence. Once we start recognizing it, we can then enter into it and we can accept that invitation. In the whole world of contemplation and contemplative practices, and the people that speak in this language, they talk about the true self and the false self. It comes from Romans 7. This passage about Romans 7, it's from Romans 7. It talks about one really desiring to do good, to be present in, and to, like they're saying, it talks about, he says, Paul says, the one, I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of the Lord in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Now that language is pretty full on, and I think it requires like a revisiting of what some of those things mean in order for us to really glean what's going on there. I think when the false self is talked about, it's like the clothes that we put on in our lives. It's the hats we wear. Some of which are like perfectly valid and they help us like go through life. We fill a role in our lives. We're a student, or we have a job description, or we have even a role within a family, or even within church. But some of those are better than others. But they're only ever outfits that we wear. those things are only ever like the trappings. Inside ourselves, what Paul calls the inner man, or our souls, like there's something deep within the core of us that we need to reconnect with. We need to sort of put our egos aside sometimes. We need to put aside our desire to do that, to do those things that draw us away from the presence of God. Does that make sense? I don't know if I've explained that well. One or two notes. But these times and these places where we recognise and invite the presence, they're an opportunity to get rid of all pretense. To take away the pretense of those outfits, to take away the pretense of that false self, in order that we can be like connected with the truest sense of ourselves, deep down, connect with God on an intimate level, in an intimate way. So these are invitations. So we need to recognize it and then accept the invitation. So, practices. I want to talk about some practices, like some of these things that draw us into the presence of God. For a long time, probably the last 300 years, perhaps, church has been a lot about what you believe. It's about being about believing the right things in order that you can move forward. In the hope that it will somehow change us or transform us. Now, I think what we believe isn't unimportant. I think it is really important. But it doesn't necessarily transform us. It doesn't necessarily change us. Having the correct answer doesn't change us. But sometimes walking out doing something, engaging ourselves in a different way, being mindful of the presence of God, like choosing to stop for a moment in silence and let God speak to me, and recognize the divine in those moments. These things can be utterly transformative. Recognizing the presence of God as we sing together, as we worship together, recognizing the presence of God as we take communion together in a really simple act. We're told that Christ will become all in all things. That's a really hard thing to get our heads around, but it is really encouraging in one way. We're told that Christ is in all people and all things, in the newness of life, in the new creation. So what that means is that we need to start recognizing the presence of God every day. We need to start recognizing the presence of God in everything, and everything that we do, and accepting that invitation. But sometimes we need a practice to take us there. So Jesus, in Matthew 26, said to his disciples, as they waited for him in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he's waiting to be arrested and taken to be tried, and ultimately end up on the cross, he says to them, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And they kept falling asleep. So there's something about directing ourselves towards God, directing our attention towards God, which keeps us connected. And it keeps the life flowing through us. We were singing earlier, "Abide with me, God." Abide with me. And then we were singing about the presence of the Holy Spirit. We were singing, yeah, "You're welcome here, Holy Spirit." And sometimes that needs to be a regular practice, something that we regularly do and recognise, is just to say, yeah. There's a guy sharing over the weekend, he was saying, every morning he wakes up and says, "Just come, Holy Spirit. Come and be with me, Holy Spirit. Let your presence dwell with me today. Let your presence dwell within me and around me." Yeah. And I think this comes in all sorts of places and in things that we do, in all sorts of practices. When we dance, there's people that go, that sort of hold drumming workshops. They'll just drum for an hour. They'll sit with a group of people for an hour and they'll just drum and they'll improvise and they'll all play. And I watched a video about this, and it's really profound what goes on. It transforms you on a cellular level. Like, I won't go into all of it, but they did some what seemed like fairly legit studies on this. And there is something that, like, is transformed on a cellular level as we partake in, like, these communal activities, as we sit and we drum together, as we dance together, as we sing together, as we wash up, as we walk, as we sit in silence, as we go to the gym. As I say, as we, I don't go there. Some people do. as one might go to the gym. A little while back we did some Lectio Divina practices where we read a passage of scripture over and over again and let it speak to us. Different kinds of prayer, prayer comes in all sorts of forms, but it's ultimately about reconnecting and returning our attention towards God. So there are all of these practices that can be done together and individually, but I just want to say, yeah, think of this as an invitation. Think of it not as a burden, but think of it as an invitation to life in our everyday, as every day goes by. And every situation, there's an invitation to the presence of God. There's a table laid before us. In the presence of our enemies sometimes, in the presence of grief, in the presence of hardship, in the presence of, like, temptation towards that thing that's going to ruin us, or that thing that's going to like tear us apart or hold us in bondage. Like, there's the presence, there's the invitation to the presence of God in every moment, in every situation.